are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to episode 5 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on the Saturday edition of the show alongside Gino Camilleri. Gino, today we were definitely going to do a show, but I didn't know what we were going to talk about. The Eagles take on Washington tomorrow for the season finale. Going to get into the game, you know, talk about still what to look forward to in the offseason and, you know, more long-term topics. And then we just got a flurry of coaching news for the Eagles that normally happens on what we call Black Monday, which is normally the Monday after Week 17, right, where all these coaches lose their jobs. There's all this big-time news. Well, we kind of got that for the Eagles on Saturday. So what we're going to get into today, me and Gino are just going to talk about the coaches because, according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport of ESPN and NFL Network, Doug Peterson is staying on at least until 2021 as the Eagles head coach. And also, something me and Gino have been talking about for 2.5 years now, talking about the job security of defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. Well, it looks like Schwartz was likely going to be canned because he did step down on Saturday. He is going to not coach in 2021, and then he might consider retirement after that, Gino. So a lot of big news from the coaching staff. Me and you have been talking about it for months now, really, with the 2020 season being out of the Eagles' hands when it comes to playoff contention at just 4 wins. We've been talking mostly about the future, about the offseason, who's going to get fired, who's going to get traded, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And today you saw a lot of the first shoes to drop with Jim Schwartz leaving and Doug Peterson staying on as head coach. So it was a crazy news day, my friend, and we're going to get deep into it.
I wish New Year's wasn't 2 days ago, because if I had a bottle of champagne in my hand, Lou, you pipe the sound in there to a champagne bottle popping, people going crazy, because that's you and I right now, finally hearing that Jim Schwartz has been let go. And all of the people that still follow Elliot Short Parks on Twitter, Jim Schwartz was not a very good defensive coordinator. He had some of the worst statistical defenses in the history of the entire National Football League. His leash was so long, the amount of player personnel input that he had on that defense and the failure to make adjustments to you and I was a final straw 2.5 years ago. So, Lou, patience is a virtue. We are finally here. We can move on to bigger and brighter things. Move on to a Philadelphia defense that should be the dominant force in the NFC East, especially with the unit that they've had the last 5 years. And what? We're a middling group for the last 5 years, but you know what? That weight is off our back. That monkey is finally gone. That clown Jim Schwartz is finally gone. I am glad he is out of here. The Locked On Eagles podcast is ecstatic today. If you couldn't hear in my voice, I'm fired up. We had one and a half good games yesterday. I mean, that Ohio State and Clemson game was very good. Today we got Oregon going on. We got all this Eagles news. Football is great, Lou. 2021 is looking up. Schwartz is gone. Dougie's staying around. Things are going exactly how you and I wanted them to go so far.
Yeah, let's get into Schwartz first, actually, and we'll talk about Doug Peterson in segment two, because Schwartz is the first shoe to drop, as he did step down. But Gino, would you agree that I think he was probably going to be fired, and that's why this is happening?
Yeah, that's like that. What coach was that under LeBron? Either like Ty Lue or one of them.
Yeah, so just like out of mutual respect, because, I mean, Schwartz was here for 5 years, and he won a Super Bowl with the team, and he was basically the head coach of the defense. I feel like he was going to get fired, but you know how it's kind of like in these PR statements by the teams, like they've mutually agreed to part ways. I mean, he was going to get fired.
Oh, totally, and yeah, that's one of the things that I think they at least give them the respect. And Schwartz, you have to give it to him. He did win us a Super Bowl. I mean, even allowing 505 yards to Tom Brady.
But against Atlanta, against Minnesota in the playoffs, right, like he did coach up a hell of a scheme and a hell of a game plan those two games. Obviously, that Patrick Robinson pick six turned the tide in the NFC title. The Vikings were up 7-0. They had drove down that first drive. So while me and you, since we started the show together in the 2017-2018 offseason, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, we've been all in on getting a new defensive coordinator. We just were not Jim Schwartz guys. Everybody, our Twitter accounts and everybody that listens to the show knows that Jim Schwartz was kind of public enemy number one on LOE. I think the biggest one, we've had a lot of guys guys we've had beef with Gino on the show, but definitely I think Schwartz is the main consistent one since we started up. Let's get into him. What I will say before I talk about his flaws and the issues me and you had with him, I will say this. I think from a statistical standpoint, Schwartz did have more success, I think, than the defense probably should have over a five-year stretch, considering the lack of talent on the second and third level since 2016. So if you look at the rank in DVOA compared to the rank in defensive spending and the rank in health across the league, it's pretty impressive. In 2016, they were fourth in DVOA, 20th in defensive spending, fifth when it comes to the most injured unit. 2017, fifth in DVOA, 14th in spending, and 11th in health. 2018, 15th. I mean, it did go down each year, so you saw the regression, but 15th in DVOA, 19th in spending, 31st in health, and then last year, 12th in DVOA, 24th in spending, 2019th in health, and then this year, 17th in DVOA, 30th in spending, and to be decided on health. He did overcome a lot of that, especially on the second and third level. You know, there was not a lot of talent. Since Schwartz has been the DC, defensive prospects drafted in the first round to the third round for the Eagles, Davion Taylor, Derek Barnett, Sidney Jones, and Rasul Douglas. That's it. So there is that part of it. The Howie Roseman factor is in there just as much as it has been for the Doug Peterson debate. But what I will say, it's hard to give Schwartz a huge pass in the personnel area because, as we both know, he had a ton of say in that. And so while it's understandable that this defense wasn't always so consistent because of how bad the linebackers were in the secondary, but I do think a lot of the reason the linebackers in secondary was the way it was because Schwartz was probably saying they don't need as much linebacker help because he trusts Nate Geary. They don't need to give the young cornerbacks like Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas time because of Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby. So while, yeah, the personnel, I think Schwartz overcame a lot of those issues, I think he was a huge part of that issue. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally. And the one thing that we look at Doug Peterson and that we applauded him finally, and we applauded Howie Roseman finally a couple months ago at the draft, was changing their philosophy up. Schwartz was that one guy that, regardless, he never changed his philosophy.
The stubbornness is what really drove me nuts.
Yes, exactly. And we'd beat a dead horse on this, but I'll just name a few examples. Carson Wentz with Howie Roseman with Doug Peterson. Doug finally knew that it was time to get off of that ship, get things right, get it going. It took Jim Schwartz, I don't even think it took him. I don't even think he did it. He never changed his philosophy. He was bringing in guys like Nigel Bradham, who was way past their playing days. Zach Brown over Jamie Collins.
He would bring in players to mold around his scheme, right? He would never mold
Nate
the scheme
Geary, dude.
Around
Nate Geary.
His player strengths. That was a big problem, Gino, is that it was always his way or the highway. And so, especially in the secondary, there were too many times where a Rasul Douglas, I'll use him as an example because that's my guy, there were always clear limitations when it came to covering quick twitch, fast wide receivers, great route runners. Rasul Douglas could not cover those guys, man coverage, no safety over top. But Jim Schwartz, it didn't matter. His scheme was, we're going to have one safety isolated, and he's going to move across the formation, and you're going to be put on an island a lot of the time, regardless of your strengths and weaknesses. And that was a huge issue with me, was that he was stubborn. His scheme was going to stay the way it was, regardless of personnel. And those are the coaches, to me, that fail.
Totally. It's the idea of Darwinism, adapting or dying in the NFL. And I think Schwartz, and we've seen a lot of guys just fail to restructure their ideology. Look at the Raiders right now with John Gruden, dude. I mean, they're still playing, to an extent, 1980s football. And that doesn't work in today's NFL. And we saw that with Schwartz, and we've seen it with Doug, who's failed to adapt like the last few years in his play calling philosophy as well. But at least Doug changed things. But Schwartz was so adamant on keeping his guys, like Jalen Mills. Hats off to him and his leadership ability, but he's clearly a player.
Oh, he played favorites, Gino, right? He played favorites.
Yes. Yeah. He was everything that's, I would say, wrong with the NFL. Like this boys club ideology. He brings in his friend Matt Burke. He's got that inner circle that he just couldn't get away from. And he was bringing guys like Leotis McKelvin in and all these guys he had
Ron
in Buffalo.
Brooks.
And Ron Brooks and all these players that we know how much say he had in personnel, Lou. And we blame Howie Roseman for some of these draft picks. But how much does that go into Jim Schwartz?
No, a lot of it's on Schwartz, man. And I will say, though, like he wanted Jeremy Chinn in the second round and Howie took Hurts. So Howie is the one making the final say. He is the GM. But and so, again, I think Schwartz did have success with a pretty lackluster defense of unit in the second and third level. But again, like we're saying, he had a lot of say in that. And because he trusted guys like Geary and Mills and Darby, Howie thought, I don't need to go and get these other guys because Schwartz is going to play those players regardless. I took Sidney Jones in the second round. You didn't play him. I picked Rasul Douglas in the third round. You didn't play him. So that's why it's hard to really give Schwartz a pass when it comes to personnel. I mean, he was.
Did we not say that exact quote to the guys from 4th and John?
Yes, we did.
Before that Buffalo game, that I looked them in the eye and I said, on paper, you can't tell me that Howie hasn't done enough on the back end to at least give Jim Schwartz a chance to make these players succeed. And Lou, we talked about the position coaches, and we talked about these guys. Maybe they're not getting coached up at the position, but now root cause analysis, Lou. There's so many times you can watch a cornerback not turn his head and go, okay, that's probably on the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, right.
There's so many times when you can run cover three with Marcus Epps as your single high safety on DK Metcalf with the playoffs on the line, knowing that you're going to fail from the beginning.
Yeah, can we talk about that, man? Like, he was just also way – talking about stubbornness, like, on the field, way too slow to adjust. You look at that game against Seattle, the Super Bowl in the second half, he would not move. The Patriots knew Darby's going to stay on the left side, Mills is going to be on the right. So what are we going to do? And Corey Graham's going to be over there too. Gronk, you're eating right now against Darby. Mills had a great first half in that Super Bowl against Gronk. What do they do in the second half? They adjusted. They moved Gronk on the left side the entire time, and that got the Patriots the lead, and Schwartz never adjusted. Even last year in Miami, Geno, Devontae Parker is tearing up Darby and Mills one-on-one on these islands, and Schwartz never gave them any safety help. He was just always too slow to adjust. Sometimes he would adjust, but it was too little, too late, and that would happen situationally a lot, and it just drove me nuts, man. The picket fence defense, soft cover zero, lining up cornerbacks 10 yards deep on third and three. There was just too many things philosophically that I had problems with that even when the defense had success, I just didn't like the way the defense, I just didn't like their philosophy. I didn't like how they played football.
So that stat I read a couple days ago about the Eagles allowing or scoring more than 28, 29 or 30 points. The Eagles were undefeated in games when they did that. Before coming in to 2019. And since then, they've lost three of those games.
Yep.
So that just goes to show you that even when the Eagles offense is going right, and we've talked about this, Lou, the Carolina game, the Tennessee game, like when you needed your defense to win a game,
Miami
how
last
many
year
times
too.
Did Jim Schwartz defense win you a game in his tenure?
Right. There were times where they would hold on, like last year down the stretch, like they would keep you in games like against Seattle for sure. But yeah, there was never a game where the defense would keep you in games, but they would eventually falter. Like late in the games, those close games, it was just way too easy to drive on this defense and to get into field goal range. There was never
Atlanta 2017. If Jalen Mills doesn't play his ass off against Julio Jones, there's a good chance Jim Schwartz probably.
Yeah, and let's be real, that ball kind of went through Julio's hands too. So that was the problem: is the offense would win games for the team. The defense would keep you in games, but they never just said, we're winning this game for you. We're winning this game. I mean, how many times did the Eagles since 2016 win a game like 17-10? I don't even know if that's ever happened.
And it wasn't the defense winning you the game. Look at the Super Bowl. It's individual performances winning you that game. You could
When was the unit itself just dominant? All three phases were unstoppable. I don't know if that happened.
There's so many times when you can look at Malcolm Jenkins just making some unbelievable plays. And even Sidney Jones down the stretch last year was having some unreal plays. And Rasul Douglas, when he was in there, was making plays. And then it's like those guys never meshed well together. The system never meshed. It took unbelievable performances from one or two players to win you a game, much like your offense has been doing this year too. Like a couple of those games that you won, it took Jalen Hurts to go out there and play on another level and have the guys around him and all the bounces go right, and Schwartz just never adapted. You maybe can count on five hands how many times he's adapted, and it's not just against good quarterbacks. Middle of the road quarterbacks were having success on this defense. Like, you almost lost to Ben DiNucci.
Even the other thing was, once he would adjust, then he would stick on that thing too long. So I look at last year's Sunday Night Football against Atlanta, week two. Jim Schwartz wasn't a guy that liked to blitz a lot, right? He liked to go four-man pass rush, a lot of cover three, play off the ball, bend, don't break, run, crash downhill to the football, right? But then sometimes last year I thought he did get better at dialing up the blitz. But then when he would do that, he wouldn't stop. And so that's why I thought you lost that game late against Atlanta, because you kept going with all these all-out blitzes, and then he'd run like cover zero, but he'd still have his corners lined up like 10 yards off the ball. So there was just, I don't know, man. I think he got tunnel vision a lot, and I thought he was even stubborn when it came to his adjustments. He'd be like, fine, I'm adjusting, but now we're sticking with this. Like, I did this, I'm not going back to the other thing, because then it feels like I'm walking back on what I tried. And I think that was an ego thing that got into play as well. And so There's just too many things, man. I mean, everybody knows listening to this podcast, me and you have talked about a lot of this stuff we're saying right now. I mean, it's great stuff and we got to talk about it because it's the end of the Schwartz era, but this is stuff we've been saying since 2018. But isn't that the problem? We've had the same talking points for 3 years of doing this podcast together. That's the point. And while sometimes the grass isn't always greener, you know, they could mess this up based on who the new hire is. Doesn't matter who the new hire is. It's independent of Schwartz himself and what he was as a DC. I think it was time for a change regardless. Now, yes, you have to hit on who the next DC is, but that's regardless of the fact that I thought it was time to move on from Schwartz.
I will always stand by my statement saying that he's only had one good year as a defensive coordinator, and it was a year in Buffalo.
There was never a time I felt like this defense was truly elevating this team, maybe carrying this team when the offense needed them to. Even last year down the stretch, man, you would have thought at 9-7, you know, Greg Ward's your top receiver and Robert Davis is playing in Deontay Burnett. And if I told you the Eagles made the playoffs and won four straight games, I would have said, oh, okay, the defense went nuts, right? You're winning games 13-10. No, the offense scored 30 plus points last year in three of the final five games, even with those practice squad level position groups at receiver and even tight end with Joshua Perkins playing a lot. It was still the offense that was winning you games in Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson.
That's what I agree with most. And that's why we had such a difficult time with moving on from Doug, because he has shown us his ability to overcome adversity and
more than Schwartz for sure.
More than Schwartz for sure. And we were, me and you are both on the proactive versus reactive. And this is a move that is so reactive, 2 years overdue. But now the thing is, we've mentioned all this stuff, Lou, like we've talked about all these downs and what Schwartz brought to us. But now we have this new hope, like this new light. Like, I think there are some candidates out there.
I was just about to ask you, like, who is the, I know right now, Jeff McClain reported that an inside hire might be the move here. Defensive line coach Matt Burke is probably a favorite. Mark Emanuel, the DB coach, was a former DC. But if you were to go outside of the NovaCare complex, like, is there a name or two that comes to your mind?
I think that's exactly what we have to go with. And I was looking through it today, and the idea of having Matt Burke come in and be your defensive coordinator to me is kind of silly, because I think that was more of a Schwartz hire than anything, because they had worked together in the past. So I don't think that would happen. I don't think you have any really great candidates. I mean, Manuel.
I don't want a defensive line focused guy, because the defensive line's not the problem. I want a guy to come in here and fix the linebackers, the corners, and the safeties.
Right. And the thing is, I think there are so many guys outside of the building that could bring in a new element, and not just from old defensive coordinators in the NFL, but I think there are guys in the college ranks that you could even dip into. Just some quick names of guys that have been in the NFL, like Chris Richard. I mean, look at Dallas's defense, completely fell apart after he left. Somebody that had big talks about potentially being a head coach in the NFL. I mean, you have a chance to go out there and get a guy like Dan Quinn, who was fired from Atlanta. Maybe he's better just as a coordinator. And that's something that I think you could do. But in the college ranks, I'm sticking by, man. Get Jim Leonard from Wisconsin. Go out and get a guy like Kerry Coombs, man. Look at what he did against Clemson yesterday. He made that Clemson offense so rattled, and they were so undermanned. And that's what you need, Lou. You need guys that when they are undermanned, they can adjust and overcome and beat better teams. And that's where you learn it, is in college. And I think you can see that. You can see the track record of defensive coordinators in college a lot better than you can in the NFL. Because the NFL, the parity is there. Like, bad teams are going to beat good teams all the time. But in college, it's so rare. And when you see an upset like you did yesterday from a guy like Kerry Coombs, who was just in the NFL as Tennessee's defensive backs coach, I'm sure he's itching to get back there. You look at, I think Grinch is the defensive coordinator in Alabama. Brian Daboll had a hell of a success path coming out of Alabama and proving his worth in the NFL. So why not change it up, dude? Get rid of this boys club attitude and just hire guys like the NHL does. And yet Peter Laviolette's running around the NHL 12 years past their best coaching years, and you're not winning. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. Innovation, innovation, innovation. Go get out there. Go get a guy like Jim Leonard from Wisconsin. Pay him all the money in the world. What do you got to lose? What do you have to lose? Two bad years of it? It's not going to be any worse than 2015 and that joke of a defense that we had. I mean, 2014 and 13 and 12 and those jokes of defenses that we had, and anything post Jim Johnson hasn't been great. So go out there, do something that's outside of just hiring within the NFL. Go
as
out
long
there
as it's not an offensive line coach. Like, don't make Jeff Stoutland the DC. No more Juan Castillo moves, please.
It can't get any worse than that, Lou. Like, it cannot get any worse than that.
Or Billy Davis. And that's why some people are nervous. Like, the grass isn't always greener. But That's why you can't mess up the hire. I mean, that doesn't mean though Schwartz should have continued to be the coach just because you're scared of messing up the next one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was time to move on. And for all the reasons me and you got into, let's get into now, Gino, the news that Adam Schefter reported, as well as Ian Rappaport, that head coach Doug Peterson will stay on at least as Eagles head coach until 2021. He will, however, meet with Jeffrey Lurie on Tuesday about the future of this team. Major coaching staff changes are expected to be made. As you saw today, the first one was Jim Schwartz. Like, he was going to get fired. That was going to be part of it. And so I think you're going to see as well the offensive coaching staff definitely switch up. I don't know if Scandrello is going to stay on, Press Taylor, Marty Morningweg. Maybe you just bring in a brand new, like, second mind, that new Frank Reich, a new offensive coordinator. So I think this is good news, Gino. You guys know how I see this situation with Doug Peterson. I think he deserves to get at least one more season after what he's been able to put up with and find success in. You know, talking about elevation of a roster and personnel in tough situations, mm-hmm. Jim Schwartz, I think Doug Peterson did it a lot more, and it's why I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt compared to Schwartz. What he's been able to do in 3 or 4 years, I think, is pretty impressive. At least for Doug, 2018 and 2019 mean a lot to me in a positive way for his resume. But what I will say now is, I do agree that significant change needs to be made on offense. Like, you need a new OC, perhaps a new play caller, or at least someone to share that duty with Doug. But what I want to say, though, Gino, is because the Eagles are keeping him now, to me, I hope they don't just take away even more control. Like, he already doesn't have a lot of say in the drafting, in free agency, even in his own coaching staff. I hope that they're going to go all in on Doug next year, because if you're going to keep him, like, if you didn't trust him to, if you're going to pull away even more power from him, despite his resume, like, why, you might as well get a new head coach. I hope Jeffrey Lurie says, okay, next year, we're going to have one collective mindset, one collective offensive voice. Like, it's you. I want you to hire. You're going to have to hire a new offensive coordinator. Like, you're going to have to hire one. We want him to split play calling duties with you. He might try to, you know, negotiate here, but I do hope it's like, let Doug, if he's going to go down, kind of like Lurie gave Chip Kelly, like, okay, in 2015, you have a vision. We're going to go all in on you. If it doesn't work, you're gone. But it's going to be you, not Howie Roseman, calling the shots. That's not going to happen with Doug. He's not going to be the GM. But I would like to say, since they're keeping him, if you're going to, you might as well try to set him up for success and let him run the offense and at least pick his coaching staff. Obviously, Doug even wants more say in, you know, personnel decisions and that kind of stuff. But I think the least Lurie can do is, if you're going to keep him next year, which you are now, you might as well start him off for success and give him more control. Because if you're not going to do that, I would have rather just, you know, tried to hire a new head coach.
We had talked about that last week when we were going through all the options. Like, where do you go with Doug Peterson? And I think this is an avenue that is exactly kind of where we want it to be. Get in that mindset of one single frame, one single culture of where you want to be. And I think
wouldn't you
said
agree
that
there was just too many cooks in the kitchen last year? I just think there was too many different offensive philosophies, because Lurie is so enamored with, like, you know, offensive innovation. That's why Chip Kelly was hired, that I think he maybe went too deep into that strategy this year.
It's definitely one of those things that you can talk about and see where the philosophies lie. And I ultimately think that Lurie still has faith that he understands, that Doug understands where they're trying to go.
Right.
And I just think Doug has been susceptible to a lot of his environment. And we've seen Doug enough times overcome adversity. But you're right, Lou. If there's too many cooks in a kitchen, the recipe is going to be wrong a lot of the times if you're not on the same page. So you have to have guys that buy all in. You don't need to have all these different ideologies on offense. Just have one ideology and let it work. Why do you think the Chiefs are so good? Because they're just on the same page, man.
Yeah, like, they all know who they are. They know what they are as an offense.
Yeah, we never found our identity this year.
No,
and even last year, it took us so long, and we kept saying, like, when are they going to start hot in a season? When are they going to figure it out? Like, maybe it's time. Like you said, Doug's back is against the wall. Go all in on him if you think that's the way to go, like you did with Chip. But say, you're going to have the most accountability. And if it doesn't work after this year, we still have a direction that we're going to go in, and we realize that this one wasn't the way to go. But I think moving on from Jim Schwartz, the talk that's going to come Monday with Doug Peterson is going to be, I think it'll be an intelligent, but a very pressure-filled conversation from Jeffrey.
Sure.
But I ultimately think Doug is your best option forward with this team and where they stand right now. I don't think bringing in a new head coach would have really done anything. Cleaning house, I don't think was the right plan. And who are you going to go out and get as a head coach right now? Like, I definitely think you need one firm offensive coordinator. Like, get rid of Press Taylor. Get rid of those guys that you brought in.
Yeah.
Say you want to hire Graham Harrell. Like, say Harrell's ready to make the jump. Okay, Harrell, you're coming in here. Me and you are going to be the only two guys calling plays. I'm fine with that. I am totally fine with just having
Maybe Mike Kafka. Well, Bieniemy's probably going to get
Kafka,
a job.
So. Imagine Kafka. You'd have to go back and give so much credit to Andy Reid for making that selection so long
He'll probably
ago,
be the Chiefs OC, though, because I think Bieniemy's going to get a head coaching job. But that's what we both agree on is it should be on Doug now. Like, Doug should, if you're going to stick with him, let him ride or die with what he's going to do. But at the same time, that doesn't mean, though, you run it back with what you have right now. Like, you do need to hire a new offensive coordinator. And I do think maybe play calling duties need to be split up. But I want Doug to be able to run that. I want Lurie to say, okay, we need a new OC. We want him to have some play calling control. But you go pick who you want. Because last year, Gino, I don't believe that Doug wanted to fire Mike Groh or Carson Walsh, even though those moves needed to be made. And I don't think Rich Scangarello and I don't think Marty Morningweg and those guys were handpicked by Doug. I think a lot of that was Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. And again, Lurie is enamored with offense. He wants to bring in innovative ideas every single year. I just thought he was just trying to mesh too many things. Like, you were trying to combine way too many ingredients. Like, you're trying to mix Mexican food with Italian, and it was just too much. So that doesn't mean you can't have variety in an offense. We're not trying to say that this offense needs to be more simplistic, but you need to have one mindset, one collective voice and philosophy of like who you are as a unit. And that, just like you said, they never felt like they knew who they were this year as a team.
Doug needs to get his Frank Reich back. He needs that guy.
That was Doug's guy. He picked Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great path to go down, Lou. And finally, I think we've kind of like narrowed down where this all stems from. And I think you said it perfectly and queued it up perfectly that a lot of those moves, the Scangarello Morningweg moves, were probably from Jeffrey. And I'm sure there was a lot of input, and I'm sure that didn't sit well with Doug. And I'm sure there's a little bit of volatility between them, but now at the same time.
Oh, you know that's going to be a tense talk on Tuesday, because it's not going to be just Lurie telling Doug what he wants. Like, Doug's going to fire back too, because Doug's in a tough spot, man. Like, he for a guy of that resume, he has way less control than, like, Bill O'Brien had all the say in the world in Houston. And, like, Doug's probably looking at other situations and saying, those guys can do that, but I've done what I've done in Philly with this kind of environment, and I still have this less say. I mean, he'll be a little fiery and testy, I'm sure, in that meeting too. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in there.
Man, if I could just hear one thing that they were saying. But to an extent, you're right, Lou, that it does fall on Jeffrey and co as well. But I think him saying that he wants him back, it does give you enough faith as your head coach, because the way Doug was answering some questions this year, it made it seem like he wasn't too secure in his job. And this is probably huge, getting that. That's a huge relief when you know you're not on the chopping block, when you know this team has faith in you. That's huge. And sticking with the loyalty element, we know that Lurie is very loyal to the people that he likes, and I think this was probably like the one move that he doesn't want to do is get rid of Doug, and we've seen that with everything around him now. And I wouldn't be shocked if Phipp is gone at the end of this year, and I think that discussion will be, Doug, we know you are what makes this engine tick, but you need to be on the same page as us, and we need to be on the same page as you. And I think this is the last ride, Lou. It's either Doug rides off into the sunset with this team with success, or they come crashing into that tunnel that's painted on the wall like they do in Acme cartoons, and that train just comes to an abrupt stop, and they finally end the Doug Peterson era. But I'm glad to see it not ending after this 2020 season, because there was so much up and down, so much with the coronavirus. Like, give him one more go. I don't think it was fair from all the time you gave to Andy Reid, allowing him to overcome adversity, even Chip Kelly for a few years. Look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees. There was a stretch when they went 7-9 for three straight years.
Yep.
But they're still creating good football.
Imagine if they would have fired Sean Payton or traded Drew Brees. And that's why, Gino, I talked about it on the podcast a couple days ago. There's a patience problem in the NFL, I think, especially in Philly and the Eagles. It's an intense environment. Like, let's be real about what the city of Philadelphia is as a fan base and as a media market and just as a team in general. Like, you expect results, especially now you've raised the bar after winning a Super Bowl. But at the same time, again, this, you got to look at the sample size, and you got to contextualize everything. I mean, what Doug Peterson has done in three of the last 4 years, I think, is really positive. And yeah, that doesn't mean this year was not a disaster. Doug Peterson, I thought this year, Gino, was a disaster. I thought he was not creative as a play caller at all. I thought his in-game, you know, decision-making was terrible. Personnel, who he decided to put out there and when and why. There was so many issues. That's why it is a short leash. But I do think that Doug deserved the benefit of the doubt. And I still think the bigger issue in general, coaching is crucial in the NFL. Like, don't get me wrong. Doug Peterson showed that in 2017 to 2019. But again, the players are the ones that are out there. You need talent and execution more than anything to win games. And to me, that is still the Eagles' biggest problem. And I think a lot of that is because of your general manager. This team needs to get just better. It just needs to have more talent, simply put, on offense and defense. You got to go out there and get Doug Peterson and get Carson Wentz, a Devontae Smith-level wide receiver, right? Or a Jamar Chase. Because I hear a lot of people on Twitter talk about, oh, yeah, and this, a lot of this is true to an extent. Like, Doug didn't use player A right? Like, he didn't utilize Jalen Reagor right, or he didn't use Golden Tate in the right way, or, you know, Nelson Aguilar. Sure, that can be the case, but guys, like, good players don't always need coaches to hold their hands on the field. Like, a star player, I hate people that say, oh, Justin Jefferson wouldn't be a stud in Philly. Like, get out. Like, the coaches wouldn't get that out of him. Star players don't always need coaches to get that out of them. Good players are just going to execute regardless. And so you just need more talent. I think that's the big problem. And that's not, you know, letting Doug Peterson off the hook or Carson Wentz. But I think next year, if you just stay healthy and you hit on your offensive draft picks next year, that's going to do a lot, because you've already seen Doug and Carson in the last 3 or 4 years do stuff with a lot less. I mean, yeah, Doug didn't utilize a lot of personnel the right way this year, but last year, the guy's offense had 30-plus points in 3 of the final 5 games, and Greg Ward was your top receiver. So to say he's never elevated weak offenses, I think is just not the case.
That's the discrepancy between him and Jim, is that...
Yeah, Jim, and that's why we're willing to give Doug the benefit of the doubt, because he's done it before. He didn't do it this year, man, but he's done it before.
Without a ton of input, too, and Jim did everything in his identity, and he didn't do it well.
Yeah, did Schwartz have more say in his defensive personnel than Doug did on offense?
Crazy. To me, that's
I think
crazy.
He might have.
No, he definitely did. And yeah. That's one of the things you look at. And I think the idea of having John Dorsey on board could be huge. Say, hey, Dorsey's our guy. He's our personnel guy now. How he's going to focus on contracts. Doug, you're going to be the head coach still. We're going to get an offense coordinator. You're going to have a plan. Like, this plan is coming together. I could see a very good talk coming out of Monday. Have them even announce Dorsey is probably announce a bunch of changes. I would love to keep John Dorsey.
Like a different title than like consultant, right? Like he's going to have a real title.
Yeah, like Joe Douglas and how he had it. I totally think that's something that you should do. And with Doug and company, you're right, man. This is the time that you can see, because you have a top probably between 3 and 10 pick, and you have a chance to either go out, draft another quarterback. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I think you can go out, change your offensive identity in one offseason alone, and you're going to, because you're going to have to make money changes. You're going to have to let go of guys like Deshaun and Alshon and company and get younger. And frankly, now is the time. You bring on a guy like Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith, who right now, Lou, I'm going to make a statement. I'd rather have Devonta Smith over Jamar Chase.
Yeah, it's there. It's 1A, 1B. I thought Chase was the clear guy, but not anymore.
And how right was I saying that Devonta Smith was the best out of all those Alabama?
Yeah, out of the big four last year. You did say that in March. You said between Ruggs, Judy, Smith, and Waddle. You did. Smith was your guy. Ruggs was my guy, which isn't looking great, but
and he did that in 12 games where it took Chase 14 games to get to 20.
I was watching Smith yesterday. Is his wingspan like 10 feet long? It is. He's got like tarantula arms. It's incredible.
Yeah, him and
Reagor. I've never seen a guy built like that.
He's built kind of like Reagor, a little less stocky, but they both have those crazy long arms and both
way more like athletic in like short area situations, I think, too.
And that's going to be huge. You talk about
twitchier might be the word, right? Quick twitch.
Very quick twitch. Very good route runner. Very like somebody you would want on your team 100%. And I would draft either of those two guys. Have your offensive identity. You already started it last year. Speed, 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 athleticism, athleticism, athleticism. You weren't too healthy on the offensive line. You weren't too healthy at the wide receiver position. You didn't have a full offseason to get these young guys involved. Jalen Reagor goes out with injury. Carson Wentz is in his worst year. Doug Peterson isn't playing, calling the right way. There were so many things going awry, but you look at 17, 18, 19, Doug was able to overcome adversity. Yeah. This time there were too many dominoes that had fallen. So if you are healthy next year, Lou, and I'm hoping, I'm sick of seeing us as 29, 28, or 30, 31, 32 in the man games lost in Warren Sharp's preview every year. I'm over it. I want to see a healthy team. And I really think that this is the offseason, that you are doing it the right way. You finally are making changes, even though they are reactive, to get rid of Jim Schwartz. You want to go in with this identity with Doug Peterson being your guy, being your vocal leader, being the guy that overcomes adversity. Because, frankly, Lou, it's going to be a younger team next year. Mm-hmm. They're going to need a lot of leadership. And say a guy like Rodney McLeod doesn't come back because you can't sign him, or you trade a guy like Zach Ertz and you move on from, let's say, Brandon Graham. Like, I would hate to see that happen, but it's definitely a real possibility. Who's going to be the guy leading the way when there's questions at the quarterback position too? Your leader's Doug. You need a leader moving forward, and I think he is your guy. I think once you have this path in play, which we are seeing play out in front of our eyes in the last 2 hours, I think you're on the right track, Lou. I really think they are moving in the right direction, and it's not going to take you a lot to get back in the scene of the NFC East. In the scene of the NFC and the scene of the NFL as a whole, maybe, but in terms of the NFC East, I think you can still build to beat those teams around you. I still think Doug Peterson is the best coach in this division. I still think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. But man, how can you overcome 14 different offensive line combinations, the worst year out of your quarterback?
Well, and UDFA, wide receiver talent. Like, I agree that Doug didn't put this team in a lot of winnable situations this year, but the front office and the personnel.
He's helped the personnel a lot the last few years.
Oh, yeah, but he did it in years previous. If this was the trend since 2017, I'd say, okay, this is reactive now, but I think it would be just showing a lack of patience if you jump the gun and you fired him based on 1 year. I mean, and that's what
that's
I'm
what
kind
bad
of
teams
glad.
Do. Yeah, we're not a bad organization, and Lurie will never want to be classed as a bad organization, and I think that's what puts us there. We've only had 3 head coaches since the turn of the century.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That's you're up there with some of the better teams. I mean, outside of New England, you're up there with Pittsburgh. You're up there. I mean, there's not many teams that have only had 3 coaches in the last 2 decades. That's pretty impressive. And you have guys in-house like Deuce Staley and Stoutland that have worked with Doug. Now get more guys like that. It's not a difficult problem. It's just difficult moving on and being so loyal like Jeffrey has, and I think you're finally seeing him turn a cheek. Hey, maybe it's time to turn from a guy like Jim Schwartz, who was with us for 5 years. Maybe things can be better. Maybe our offense can be better, which we all know it can. Maybe our personnel decisions can be better, which we all know it can. Maybe having the 31st out of 32 salary caps in 2021 can be changed. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can overcome with guys in-house, but I think there are a lot of pieces in-house that weren't going in the direction that this team needed. They didn't have an identity on offense. They didn't have an identity on defense. They lost their identity on special teams. Now is the time. The slate is blank, Lou, in my opinion. Like, this offseason, it's a blank slate. You're going to probably have a quarterback competition moving forward. You're still going to have the same head coach. You're going to have a new defensive coordinator, probably a new offensive coordinator. Things are looking up, man. Like, I'm excited for that. It's not going to be the same discussions we're having about Schwartz a year from now or 2 years from now, or which we did the past 2.5 years or the past 5 years. We finally have new issues that will come about, but new glimmers of hope that will come about. I mean, the first time I see a cornerback turn his head and make an interception next year, I'm gonna clap my hands. And the next time you see a blitz that it's 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage and you drop 2 defensive ends out in coverage, or and you rush 2 linebackers and just throw some of these odd fronts at teams and just not be so indecisive and you're changing your attitude on defense, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun once again, I think. I'm hoping, I'm praying it into existence. We're into a new year, 2021, a new decade of Eagles football. Hopefully this is the new norm, Lou. Hopefully we aren't as reactive as we have been. Stick with the proactive ideas. But at the same time, things that have worked, continue to be loyal to them. And I think you've seen that with Carson. I think you've seen that with Doug. It took him so long to bench Carson Wentz because we've seen it work. And just because something is broken doesn't mean it can't be fixed. I think you can put a lot of time into trying fixing something that is always going to be broken, Jim Schwartz, for example, and put your resources elsewhere in guys that did buy in. You can't tell me that Carson Wentz still wants to be in Philadelphia. He 100% wants to be here. He wants to be the guy. He wants to win a Super Bowl for us. I'm sure Jalen Hurts does as well. I'm sure Doug Peterson wants to as well. These guys are on the same page. Completely overhauling this team, I think, would be the worst decision in the world. Completely cleaning house of everybody. But it's going to be a rebuild. But the guys that are going to build you up are the guys that have built you up in the past and have fought through adversity. And I think Doug always was the guy you wanted to be the general of your team, leading the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward. And I'm 100% on board. Give him all the power in the world for 1 year. If it does well, everybody buys into Doug's system. You figured it out. That's your plan. Move with it. If not, we had the same discussion next year, probably over a new head coach. It can happen, but hey, for once, we're not just sitting here in quicksand. We're finally getting out onto dry land and making our way forward into what is the competitive NFL. 4-10-1, not competitive in my opinion, not competitive in anybody's opinion, especially when this division is so bad. But I don't think it all comes down to Doug. I don't think it all comes down to Carson. I don't think it all comes down to Howie or Jeffrey. But I think all of them need more accountability. I think accountability was lost in the last few years of this team, and finally, Jeffrey's holding people accountable.
And I think, though, at the same time, Lurie's staying in the – it's a middle ground here. Like, he's not being too reactive. He's not – like, he's not being too slow on the draw. I think Schwartz leaving in 2021 is a couple years too late. But I also think Doug leaving this year or Carson Wentz leaving this year would be a couple years too soon. And so I'm glad there's a middle here where Lurie's showing patience. He's not showing too much patience. I think – Howie Roseman is getting too much patience, in my opinion. I think Doug and Carson, they deserve the patience right now that I think Lurie is going to give them. And so I'm glad Doug's going to stay, even Howie Roseman to a degree, and Carson Wentz too. Doug Peterson talked about it yesterday, how Wentz being fixed is the priority this offseason. But it also, again, doesn't mean the leash isn't short. It is. Each guy is going to get help or a potential new replacement this year. Dorsey for Howie, a new offensive coordinator for Doug, Jalen Hurts for Carson Wentz. But at the same time, all three of those guys, even including Howie, although I think he'd be the one to get fired of any, they deserve another year to get back to where they were. Because while you can ignore 2018 and 2019 and those late season runs all you want, those games down the stretch, they mattered. They counted as much as the early ones, if not more. And so this team won a Super Bowl, nearly made an NFC title game the following year, and won a division in three straight seasons, despite a lot of adversity. A lot of it that was in your control, but a lot of it that wasn't. And so while this year, a lot of those guys are to blame for what happened in 2020, Howie Roseman, Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson all have a significant amount of say as to why this season was a disaster. But it was 1 year. And I think, again, there's got to be some patience. You've got to weigh the sample sizes here. The NFL does stand for not for long. These guys are not going to get two, three more years to fix it, but they should at least, Geno, get one more. And I think that's the final thing I'll say is there was a middle here to be met, and I'm glad that Lurie doesn't read Twitter too much and isn't too reactionary, because I think firing everybody and cleaning house would have been a mistake. That doesn't mean there doesn't need to be a rebuild. This year is not a retooling. It's a rebuild for sure, but it's not a blow it up rebuild, if that makes sense. Like, there needed to be a middle ground here, and I think they're going to find it. And then if it doesn't work next year, then you make even more changes. But I like the path, and I think I like the plan that Lurie has in place for 2021, at least for right now.
We have a direction. Pop some champagne. Jim Schwartz is out of town. Hate to see people lose their job, but hey, sometimes
Locked On Eagles podcast rejoices.
We rejoice today. It is a big day. Let's mark it. January 2nd the year 2021. Sayonara, Jim Schwartz. Thank you, Doug Peterson, for everything you've done, and I'm glad he's sticking around. So I'm going to end it with that, because I couldn't be happier today, Lou. Sko Ducks got a big bowl game coming up here. Fly Eagles fly on Sunday, where they are 3.5-point underdogs to the Washington football
team. The betonline.ag line is 3.5.
Betonline.ag, guys, get out there. Start making some money. If it's going to be an upset, it's going to be an underdog show, why not bet on the birds as underdogs taking on the Washington football team? No cap day. Let's end Jim Schwartz's last day here in Philly with no caps. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading as always. And you, Lou, where do they find us?
That's right. Go to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, anywhere on any podcast platform. You can find me and Gino 5 times a week right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Let's see, what other shameless plugs? Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. And if you could, leave us a 5-star rate and review. It's how we grow the show, and me and Gino can continue to churn out as many Eagles podcasts as we do, more than any Eagles podcast out there. So we appreciate you guys kicking off 2021 with us in style on the Saturday edition of the show. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly Eagles fly.